Hello, good afternoon to you if you're just joining me here at LBC. If you listen regularly, you will know that just a fortnight or so ago, we talked extensively, for days on end actually, about the treatment of women and girls, both on our streets, in their homes, universities, and school came up as well, because schoolgirls were telling us what was happening to them, and women, including myself, were describing what happened in their school age years as well. So we know that young girls are as prone to sexual violence or unwanted sexual attention and sexual harassment as adult women. And isn't that a depressing thought? But it is true. And now we have this really disturbing image that's coming out, because it tells us, I think it tells us that we're failing boys as much as failing girls. And bear with me while I describe that. Wrong behaviour, violent behaviour, abusive behaviour, harassing behaviour from boys needs to be tackled in the interest of protecting the girl first and foremost. And then the adults around that boy need to rebuild that boy to make sure that when he grows up, he becomes a safe man and not another unsafe man. And then you have the question of how schools, how any organisation manages concerns around harassment, especially when it comes to children, harassment and abuse of children. And by that, I'm talking about teachers. Should it be mandatory for teachers to report even concerns about a child, let alone evidence of a child being sexually harassed or abused in the school? And this website called Everyone's Invited, it was founded by Soma Sara, who wanted to get a picture of what was happening in schools, and more than 8,000 allegations. And this will be the tip of the iceberg. And I know there's a lot of focus on independent schools, because independent school kids were the ones who predominantly answered her call. But I don't expect for a second that it's any different, particularly in state schools. 8,000 allegations have been made by school pupils on this website, inviting people to say what's been happening to them. And you heard on this programme when I invited people to say what had happened to them, when I shared what had happened to me. It was like opening the floodgates. It didn't stop. We did about, I think in total, I did 3 days on the trot, 9 hours. That's just my programme. And it was an endless flow of calls, mostly adult women. But many of their stories went back to when they were schoolgirls, and some of it happened in school. A lot of the perpetrators of the abuse in this case, on this website, amongst these 8,000 allegations, are claimed to be at the same school or in the same social groups. And, you know, this tells us why it feeds into university, because it's the same people. It's the same people abusing girls. It's the same people. It's the same problem. Just morphs into a slightly older version at university. And universities aren't covering themselves in glory either, any more than schools are, about dealing with this. Simon Bailey, Norfolk Chief Constable, points to what he says, a volume of pornographic material that's being consumed, eroding an understanding of what normal sexual relationships look like. He's the National Police Chief's Council Lead on Child Protection. And he says bluntly, we have a problem. We have a problem here. And we have a bigger problem if schools don't tackle it. If schools don't tackle it properly, if schools want to keep it in-house. And again, whenever we talk about this, quite a few of you parents ring and tell me how underwhelmed you were by the school's attempt to protect your girl, your daughter, when she was harassed or abused by a boy at the school. And I understand the motivation to protect a young boy from anything too serious. I understand that, because he's still in formation, isn't he? He's still being formed as a human being. But the protection of the victim has to come first. It has to come first. Jonathan West joins me, child protection campaigner who brought abuse scandals at Ealing Abbey and St Benedict's School to public attention. Jonathan, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
I noticed from your tweets on this that you come back to that point about mandatory reporting time and again, don't you, that schools need to be absolutely in the bloodstream of the authorities and get this sorted in a proper way.
Yes, the problem is that everyone fondly believes that they will instantly report abuse if they see it, until the moment that when they're actually faced with the prospect of having to do it, and then too often they don't. And that's just sort of the natural self-censorship. It's much, much worse in those schools where there's some hostility to the idea of sort of washing your dirty linen in public. And so at that point, if you're in that kind of school, then you're a whistleblower and you might lose your job for it. Mm. And that happens from time to time. At the moment, there's no legal obligation on staff to report abuse, which means that if they want to report it when the school is hostile to the idea, they're completely unprotected. they're whistleblowers. So if we had a well-designed form of mandatory reporting, there's a group called Mandate Now, which has described how this really ought to be done, then the teachers would be protected when making reports. It would become the natural thing to do, and the abuse would get stopped much, much earlier. At the moment, the situation is with independent schools that if they're caught out not having reported it, they're slapped on the wrist, told to reform their safeguarding processes. They do, and everything carries on as before, and they can gradually sort of slip back into their old bad habits again, and nothing really happens. There's got to be consequences on those taking the decisions to cover up the abuse, so that it's not just the school which is told to do something, but those who actively decide to try and cover up need to be held accountable.
You see, what I don't understand, and I may be being naive because I don't work in schools, I don't know, but what I don't understand is how, as an adult, you could have lived in this country for the last 20 years, even 10 years, but certainly 20 years, and not understood that where a claim of sexual abuse or sexual, or serious sexual harassment, I mean, because some sexual harassment, I think, probably could be tackled, you know, within the school between teachers and pupils and parents, and I suspect, do call in if you disagree with me on that, but I can't understand how somebody could have been an adult in the last 20 years and think that a sexual assault of a girl by a boy in a school can be dealt with in-house.
Well, I think the point is that you've got to sort of set aside what you might think of as sort of logic, and I agree entirely that it's hard to understand, but we actually have to accept that that is the way, in practice, things actually happen.
No, but the reason I ask the question is it reveals something, doesn't it? It reveals a toleration, a tolerance of this kind of sort of malformed behaviour. That's what it reveals. And yet there's no urgent red light on it. There's no urgent response, it seems, in many, many cases.
It does seem that there's more concern for the welfare of the alleged perpetrator than there is for the victim. Yes. Mm.
Mm. So how do we address this? Because, you know, we know that it's about image-based abuse, revenge porn, so-called, non-consensual sharing of photos, physical touching, actual sexual abuse of a person, rape, sexual assault. We know it goes the whole range of things. Where do we begin? Where do we begin with boys?
Well, I mean, the boys themselves have to be taught that this is just not acceptable, and the staff therefore need to make it clear that it's not acceptable, and so the staff have to be in a position where they know what is and what isn't something that they're permitted to let slide. It's amazing how effective a well-designed law in this area can be. I mean, for instance, you may remember decades and decades of public information films telling us to wear seatbelts. Mm-hmm. They had no effect at all. But when there was a law came in, everyone started wearing them. And I think that it is very important to realise how effective what's actually quite a simple change in the law.
But what you're talking about mandate, are you?
Attitudes. I'm talking about mandatory reporting, because that's the starting point for getting people to change their attitudes to this.
So if a school knew that 10 times a year it was going to have to report boys to the police, it would get its reputation. So I wouldn't want my daughter going there for a start if I knew that had happened. So if they have to report it in that sense and they've got a problem, then you know they've got a problem.
Well, yes, but I think the point is that people are reasonable if issues are reported immediately and a stop is put to it. Then people will understand that you can't absolutely prevent every individual case, but what you have to do is your very best to make sure that the cases that come to notice are dealt with immediately before multiple children have a chance to be harmed by the same person.
Yeah, but if you knew that that school had 10 or 20 a year, you'd know that it was a problem in the school, wouldn't you?
Yeah, well, that, I suspect, is going to be a problem with a significant proportion of all schools until we get this under control.
And a word on pornography and the ease of access to pornography and how it's distorting boys' views in particular, but girls as well, of what a sexual relationship is like, what a girl is expected to do with a boy, what a boy is expected to want in order to be a man, because that's part of it as well, isn't it? We have to reshape, I think, how we raise our boys and girls on this issue. We have to just go back to, we're getting it so badly wrong, it's unbelievable.
Yes, I think that we need to put much more effort into sex and relationship education, and to make sort of the access to pornography sort of understood that sort of it's unrealistic, it's a fantasy, it's not the way real life actually works.
It's harmful.
Yes.
Yeah, it's harmful, and that again, there'll be a lot of pushback on that, won't there?
The problem is that nobody actually believes that it's harmful to them.
Until they find that it has been, yeah. Jonathan, thank you. Good to talk to you. Jonathan West, child protection campaigner who brought abuse scandals at Ealing Abbey and St Benedict's School to public attention. You're